environment's important. I mean, if you look at us here in our pod, it's much nicer sitting, being able to look out, having a bit of timber in the structure, see out the window rather than being in a porta cabin.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, absolutely. Good. Okay. Now we talked about a lot about the timber element of CLT and all the benefits that offers. Can we come on to where, which is quite a topical, sorry, the cat distracted me. There's a cat.
No, there's a
There's
black
a
cat
black
walking
cat that wants to come and listen to our podcast. He looks very sweet, actually. We should let him in. He just turned around and looked.
We
Anyway,
should.
black cats aside, hopefully that's not a bad luck charm because I'm just coming to talk about fire. So yeah, we chatted a lot about the sustainability and the benefits of CLT, which is great. I'm just wondering, because it's such a pressing topic in the UK at the moment, where does CLT fit in specifically in high rise with fire? Hi everyone, welcome to another of our Proctor podcasts, which we're recording right here at our head office in our very own Proctor pod. Today we're going to be having a general discussion around cross-laminated timber, what it is, where we're seeing it emerging within the industry, and some of the benefits and the challenges that come with utilising it. You've probably heard or know that it's referred to as CLT, so just so you don't get confused as we go on through the podcast, we may well shorten it to that to make it easier. I'm joined by a couple of my colleagues here. Pam is our Senior Technical Advisor. Hi, Pam.
Hi, Kira.
And Adam is Head of our...
Head of Global Sales Module
I gave you that job title.
Offsite. You did.
And Adam is our Head of Global Sales Modular Offsite. Thank you for coming up to head office today, Adam.
Hello, Kira.
So if I can just start by asking, I mean, can we explain to our listeners what is cross-laminated timber and how does it differ from traditional constructions?
Cross-laminated timber is a system that you can use to be the main part of your structure. It's made from dried wood boards, and then they're all glued together, normally between 1.5 meters and 3 meters wide. And it becomes an inherent part of the design for structural strength, the aesthetic look of the building, and also offering the sustainability, being a timber-based product, really.
A sort of a simple way to think about it is we've known the benefits of using plywood, which is obviously like thin veneers layered up together that can give a very strong structural board. So you could consider CLT as a derivative of that. So rather than using maybe strips and things, you're actually using a much stronger core part of the wood, as Adam said, dried, compressed together. So these, sort of blocks, the layers can be, anything up to sort of like 1.5 to 3 inches. So new money, showing my age now, sort of 150 to sort of 300 millimeter deep, and they're all sort of put together. And we've seen glue lam beams for a number of years, which is a similar sort of principle. It's taking that strength of the grain and the fibre in the timber and working with it to create something that is more dimensionally stable than just a sort of a traditional timber frame that is just cut from one, fibrous direction.
Clearly, with the intricacies of this, it's not something done on site.
No. You've got to have quite a specialist setup. But that's no bad thing because that means that you've got continuity of quality, and you've got all of those aspects controlled, and that's going to make your structure more stable, durable, and reliable throughout its lifetime.
Yeah, it becomes quite important with the design work. So all of these panels are pre-designed, where the openings will be, and then when they go through the factory, they're all constructed, the CLT panels with the openings, ready for it to be then delivered to site and constructed together like a jigsaw, really, and all the pieces put together.
Good. And presumably the process helps with warping, shrinking, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, by the very nature of working with the different layers of fibers and directional, so they're not all laid in the same direction. They're, hatched and crossed over. They tend to be uneven numbers as well, so you've not got the grain direction the same on either side. So that makes a building that isn't susceptible to warping with moisture and heat. So the structural aspects of it does mean that because you're working with the grain, you're using odd numbers of layers, your building is not, your timber is not going to be susceptible to movement because of where that grain is. So you can get warping and twisting, especially if it gets damp. So CLT from that point of view is exceptionally good and stable and durable. And that's why you can build some really quite tall buildings, you know, up to several stories, not traditional high rise, but and it also allows you to have quite large spans. You know, we've seen it in some buildings where there's very large internal open spaces constructed from it.
Yeah.
So I was just going to say, so really we're getting quite a lot of the benefits from that traditional timber would offer without some of the concerns that traditional timber has in construction.
Yeah, without a doubt, without a doubt.
Yeah, and I suppose one of the benefits of it being an off-site system is it's going to be precision built as well, reduce hopefully a lot of time on site and a lot of labour on site, which has a lot of benefits. And one thing we struggle with in the UK is weather, so being able to carry on constructing or manufacturing the panels all year round offers a lot of benefits as well.
So talking about site, I mean, where is this used? Where is CLT used?
Well, CLT is used all over the world in projects. It's a very popular form of construction we see in Australia. And we've worked on a number of projects ourselves with our partners. We've also seen a lot of projects across Europe, Scandinavian countries in particular. It's a very common type of build. And now in the UK, we're seeing a lot of projects popping up. Especially as we move more energy efficient with our design, it makes achieving lower air tightness a lot simpler. It's more sustainable as we're trying to hit net zero on our projects. So those benefits help enhance that.
Yeah. You're seeing in everything from residential to commercial to leisure centres. So our new recreation centre in the town here in Blairgowrie, that is CLT for the majority of it. And that's in swimming pool hall, etc. So, you know, they've looked at that and they've designed it. And, you know, it's hugely beneficial for the environment.
I mean, I think I've even read that it's used in bridges because of the structural integrity that it offers. So it's quite interesting. Yeah. It could be leaved exposed.
Oh, that's interesting.
So coming on to you, we mentioned sustainability there. What are the main sustainable credentials that CLT offers?
I think the big one is the fact that timber is a sustainable source. You grow it, it captures carbon during its growth period. You're then putting out oxygen into the environment. But that timber comes from managed forests. It can be traced. So you're not using something that is depleting the earth's resources. You know, it's not steel. It doesn't take massive, I mean, it'll take some degree of heat and energy to form the panels because they need to be compressed under pressure. But it's not in the same way. It's nothing like the energy consumption of steel or metal or even producing, you know, bricks, etc. So it's very much that sort of managed.
So essentially a lot less energy to physically manufacture the finished product and less waste, presumably.
Well, the waste can be used for other things. So it can go back into biomass fuel. It could go into paper industry. There's lots of different ways that timber offcuts can be recycled and reused.
Yeah, and then there's the other aspect as well, not just the material itself being a sustainable material, but when it gets to site, what that CLT offers projects. Being an airtight building system, the likelihood is on your projects you're going to achieve lower air tightness, less heating required for your building, which is then going to result in less CO2 emissions being released from that building as well. So it's an overall knock-on effect that can offer the project as well, not just the building material itself.
Okay, so clearly a lot of sustainable pool for these projects, which is fantastic. How about kind of the speed and efficiency of build? I mean, how does it compare to other traditional materials? Is it heavy? Is it lighter weight than steel? I mean, how does it function?
Timber inherently, especially when it's dried out, is relatively light. Obviously, your weight of these overall panels is going to be dictated a little bit by the thickness and the size of the panels, But actually, you know, compared to things like concrete or steel beams, etc., they're probably comparable or significantly lighter. And I think that allows a lot more flexibility. They probably can be transported a lot more easily to site, and you may not need quite the same heavy lifting equipment if you're using CLT or a panelized system over something like large steel beams, etc.
And I guess the load bearing on foundations would be less as well.
Yeah. And you know, if you're using concrete, there's a lot of framework that needs to go up and everything like that. So that can make you know, the actual sort of physical putting it together on site and pouring it quite complex. Whereas with CLT, it's very dry, quick, and can be really advantageous for keeping on programme and on track.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of emphasis on the design work of each individual panel, and then once it gets to site, it goes up very quickly. They all connect very quickly. I think one of the biggest headaches I hear from a lot of projects is when the client has a bit of a change of heart or change of mind, that opening, they want moved or something like that. That's quite difficult then, because the panels have been set and designed already. But yeah.
Unfortunately, it's still a problem in traditional builds. You know, if you suddenly change the positioning of windows. But if you can really hone it down off site, then you're actually going to get a better, safer build from the final design. I think it just means that, you know, you do have to do your homework and your design before it goes to site, rather than sort of do a Heath Robinson botch job of shifting things. It's never going to be good for the building overall.
No, and I think from a project planning point of view as well, it obviously you have that inflexibility of being able to like make last minute changes. And having built my own house with a structural panel, it wasn't CLT.
Yeah.
That can be frustrating because you do have afterthoughts. Well, yeah. Certainly I did.
Yeah.
Much to my husband's annoyance, but what it does do, or what it will do, especially in big projects for CLT, is streamline that whole project planning. So you know when you need, you know when it's going to be up, you know we need the windows, you know you can actually plan the next step, which I guess in the big commercial projects is hugely efficient and cost saving.
Yeah, I suppose that gets more pronounced the taller you go with the buildings, and probably why we see a lot of high-rise projects of CLT across Europe and other parts of the world as well, because you can design it a lot more precisely, and it goes up a lot quicker when you get to site.
We've obviously talked quite a lot about the timber element of it, transport and handling. I know that aesthetically some of these projects are left exposed. Why is that? Because the architects like the look of it? Is it complete finish internally? Something you guys have come across?
Yeah, I think it very much depends on what you want from the building. I think people that go for perhaps CLT over something like a SIP system, they're actually using that because they want the aesthetic of the natural wood on the inside, especially for large open spaces. That's a very popular aesthetic. We're seeing it quite a lot in schools and public spaces, because of that perception of warmth and a little bit, I suppose, of that sort of Scandi design. You know, people like that natural wood. It's a very sort of good surface for indoor occupancy and health and things like that.
And does it come completely machine finished internally? I mean, that is what's delivered to site is put up and it's left essentially.
It's not rough because it is manufactured to such high precision off site. You know, you've not got sort of like scuffed bits or damaged edges and things like that. You do have a panel that is effectively your internal finish. And that obviously leads on to a building that is quite wind and airtight from the start, and a building that is then got the benefits of external wrapping and insulation, etc. That's not to say you can't put a lining up, you know, there's a lot of flexibility with it, I think, really, isn't there?
There is, and I think when you see it finished on a lot of projects, we've seen swimming pools down in Exeter, we've seen housing developments in Leeds. They like, when you go internally, they like to see that timber exposed. Sometimes not the full coverage, sometimes at the joints of the ceiling and the floor details. But as you touched on a minute ago, Pam, there's a lot of health benefits. Having timber construction exposed reduces stress levels. There's been a lot of reports. We worked on a project in Australia in the past where they looked at comparing that CLT approach to a traditional build house and the benefits that would have on the occupants.
Help me with the health benefits for occupants. Can you talk through some of those?
I think a lot of it is to do with when using more natural materials.
There's a lot of concerns over things like formaldehydes and VOCs and all these sort of volatile compounds and chemicals that are used to manufacture foams and carpets and everything like that. There's a lot of people are quite concerned about what that's then giving back into, the occupancy and the breathability.
Yeah.
Off-gas quality.
The off-gassing. Whereas timber, you don't. I mean, obviously, they will be adhesives used, but they're within the sandwich. But there's also things like almost like a moisture buffering effect of timber. You know, it's known as hygroscopic. You know, it's one of its strengths. Pardon the pun, I don't mean physically strengths, but it's one of the really good things about timber is that it naturally takes on board, you know, the sort of pore structure and the cell structure of it. Obviously, as a grown tree, allows water to be drawn up from the end grain up through the strands in the timber. But when you're working the CLT, when we talked about it earlier, they're working with it in different layers, but you still have that absorbency. So it can be quite good for buffering, so you maybe not got such a dry atmosphere, which can be, you know, kind of feels you feeling lethargic and dried out. So, you know, a lot of sick building syndrome can be overcome by having more natural and hygroscopic vapour movement and everything like that in it. So,
yeah.
Interesting.
And just mentally, I think as well, you can feel kind of at one with the nature sometimes living in a more timber built construction, especially when it's exposed internally. I think that adds a lot of benefits,
and it probably helps acoustically, so you have less reverberations.
Absolutely.
Less echoes.
It's quite a soft surface. And you can get panels that, you know, carved panels, units, soft buffering. There's all sorts of things that you can add to it to make it an all-round really good useful space.
Environment's important. I mean, if you look at us here in our pod, it's much nicer sitting, being able to look out, having a bit of timber in the structure, see out the window, rather than being in a porta cabin.
Absolutely.
Good. Okay. Now, we talked a lot about the timber element of CLT and all the benefits that offers. Can we come on to which is quite a topical... The cat distracted me. There's a cat.
There's a black cat
that wants to come and listen to our podcast. He looks very sweet, actually. We should let him in. He just turned around and looked. Anyway, black cats aside, that's not a bad luck charm, because I'm just coming to talk about fire. We chatted a lot about the sustainability and the benefits of CLT, which is great. I'm just wondering, because it's such a pressing topic in the UK at the moment, where does CLT fit in specifically in high rise with fire?
It's a very interesting topic. In the UK, we have very clear guidelines that over 11 metres, apart from exempt buildings, you're looking at A2, S1, D0 or better. Fire performance of most of your external wall materials. So that would leave CLT exempt, because it would probably fall in under that, have fire rating properties, but still not quite achieve that A2 performance. So we would, in the UK, would have a blanket exemption, no CLT. We do see a lot of high-rise projects across the world have good performances, so it is a bit of a debate at the moment. We've seen...
Good fire performances, you mean?
Yeah, good fire performances. We've seen even a project in Leeds. It's not a high-rise building, but it's been left exposed because after its fire, you could see the building just charred, and it stayed in place. So there's now people coming all over Europe to come view this building and see its properties and show its benefits.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a debate in the market, but in the UK we have this stance. I don't think we'll be seeing any CLT projects above 11 metres at the moment, but there certainly are projects ongoing over the world.
Yeah, I mean, I think some of the worldwide projects are talking about trying to take them up to like 33 stories and things like that. I think we're definitely not there structurally, possibly in the UK. But there's a lot of work going into the characteristics of CLT when it burns, etc. So there's quite a few research projects that are starting to come online from that.
Yeah.
You're seeing them popping up So it's a definite consideration, but you can potentially look at combining the CLT with other components, like the type of insulation you use and maybe the membranes, etc., might help to mitigate some of those concerns over certainly external fire spread. I think in terms of through wall, etc., it is probably very good.
You'd think the density of itself would lend itself to that.
Yeah, so as Adam talked about, the sort of the charring, I remember going down to Trada training years ago, and they talked about the fact that, you know, one of the reasons why it was 38 millimetres minimum dimension was because you could get charring and it still would be integral there. So the more charring, that then stops the fire because there's no more fuel available. If you can keep the rest of it, you know, sort of not being knocked off.
I think what you mentioned as well about the other products is quite important, because even in low rise, we see that the importance of boundary conditions when buildings are within a metre of each other, when one building might be on fire, the emitter length for potentially that fire jumping from one to the other building. So having protection on those boundary conditions is quite important to prevent that fire passing through to the structure.
So a bit of a moving platform at the moment in terms of the regulations, but in the UK, very much design stage, you would be
are tending to use them, as Adam said, not in high rise situations, in lower rise.
We're seeing a lot more upkeeping, swimming pools, housing, and big developments, things like that.
Okay. Now, inherently, timber is susceptible to moisture. Can we talk a little bit about where CLT or cross laminated timber is affected? What's with, you know, the regulations? What's out there to give people advice on this?
I mean, obviously, we touched on the fact that this change in the grain and the orientation of the timber means that it is not as susceptible to warping. Or dimensional movement and distortion. But it's very much recognised that it needs to be looked at and needs to be considered. So the most recent update to BS 5250, which moved from control of condensation to moisture management, because they rightly identified that condensation is probably quite a small part of what can affect a building. They actually added a number of new categories into certainly the wall section that was headed up by our technical director, Ian, and CLT was one of the areas that we added in, we added in because I was fortunate enough to sit on the subcommittee for walls, which was a brilliant learning experience. But CLT was added in, so there is guidance there in 5250 2021. Relating to what to consider for timber.
I think we, with all timber projects, we're very cautious of moisture being stored in that timber, and then once it gets to site, once projects are finished, can that moisture escape from the timber structure? And we're now just having to go through that process again with cross-laminated timber and look at the whole process. So once those panels are manufactured, where are they being stored? Are they being stored outside? Are they exposed to the elements? Is there a chance then for those panels to get a lot of moisture stored with inside them? We then look at the transportation stage. Are they protected? Are they exposed on the back of a lorry going through all different climates? Because sometimes these panels are being shipped all over the world.
Right.
So we have to take that into consideration.
What do they do to protect these panels then?
So there's a number of different options. Some systems have looked at like a shrink wrap system. That sometimes doesn't help the overall system, because if there's already moisture in the CLT when they shrink wrap it,
they keep it in there.
Yeah, it will be in a plastic material. It will keep that moisture in there and probably almost add to it.
It probably starts causing the sort of, you know, mould and black mildew spotting. And black spotting, which you don't want.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So then systems now are kind of looking at more vapor permeable systems, and typically we've used a lot of membrane systems to offer that performance. They're normally taped on, which affects the movement during a factory line, during storage, and during transportation to site. So where we're seeing now a huge kind of push towards is that self-adhered membrane system that also offers that low vapor permeability to allow that timber to still dry out from any inherent moisture it has within it.
Good, which is where we're putting some of our product to support that. This isn't a sales discussion, of course, but we are providing the self-adhered vapor permeable Raptite into these applications to some CLT manufacturers.
Yeah, we see with Raptite a huge benefit there to protect those panels once they're finished in storage and during that transportation stage. Then when it's constructed, more importantly, the moisture that is within that building from the occupants and also any that's got in during construction phase, it can dry out. With a lot of projects where they've used other systems, they haven't had the ability for that moisture to dry out. And that's when the black spotting, the mould, and systems have had to be replaced across the UK quite a lot as well because of that.
Yeah. And it's probably worth, you know, touching on sort of making sure that any membranes that you use to protect them are sufficiently permeable enough to work alongside the insulation. So in a lot of these cases, it's not the CLT, because of the aesthetics of the inside and the benefits, they will wrap them externally with insulation, which we know from high rise and facades is a really good way of keeping that structure warm and dry, energy efficient, cuts down in cold bridging, and you know, thermal sort of cold spots. But it tends to be, you see more natural wood fibres, plant-based insulations, perhaps even like rock wools and mineral wools being used externally to these buildings. So it's important to make sure that you're not putting anything that's going to inhibit that, and look at it all the way through. So it might be that you know, some manufacturers are not just producing and moving the panels from the factory. They can be taking it right out to almost the cladding line. You know, and that's then important to look at where in the construction the membranes are and what you're doing.
And CLT will offer a lot of thermal performance to the build with it, with its weight, its timber performance and the glues it's used. But also with all off-site construction, the approach we're taking now is not just analysing the finished building. We are understanding that there is a long process in between that during storage, and those systems are different to when it's finished. It might not have any insulation included internally, externally. So we're analysing those systems in storage phase as well as when finished building.
Because you don't have the vapour drive that you get in a heated or cooled building.
And that's where we've noticed a lot of the problems, not saying with CLT, but with off-site construction, has been during that storage phase with moisture damaging structures.
So what do we think, what challenges do we first see around the wider adoption of CLT in the UK and globally?
I think the biggest thing in the UK is it's not yet really being manufactured in the UK. There are a few companies that are doing it, looking at using homegrown timber, etc. But most panels are coming in to the UK from Europe, which obviously has got haulage costs and tariff codes, etc., all sorts of things associated to it. And that might not allow the UK user the same flexibility over what membranes are being used. So I think that's the main one. I think some of the fire ones, once they're addressed, that'll afford some more confidence in it.
Yeah, I think as we see more projects develop and people looking at these projects, that will encourage more, I think, awareness and understanding of CLT. It's three letters that is quite popular, but a lot of people don't actually understand it or know its benefits. It's the same with passive house standard. We're seeing a lot more people move towards these energy efficient passive house standard buildings, and I think inherently a lot of more projects with CLT will follow suit because it's a great way of achieving your performances.
I think very much in Scotland, where we are moving towards those low energy houses, and it's pretty much a sealed deal that it's going to come into our building regulations in the next few months to a few years. CLT is going to take its place alongside sit panels off-site manufacturing as a really good option for producing energy efficient, nice environment buildings for people
on a big scale. Yeah,
on a big scale, and that's it. It's really good once you've got your building designed. It's easy to roll that out in the modular type of aspect, and that should hopefully bring costs down and actually make it an affordable solution for affordable housing.
And I suppose that will probably encourage people to set up manufacturing plants in the UK with some of the timber we have available already.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Supply and demand. Yeah. Supply and demand. I guess the versatility of the material as well can really provide quite a striking design.
Yeah. You're not relying on square shapes.
Right.
You know, you can do some amazing, you know, triangles and all sorts of different
curves
and things like that with it. You know, you design that into it. So there's actually a huge amount of flexibility and aesthetics that you can go with internally and externally compared to what you could do with traditional framing or traditional, certainly brickwork, blockwork. You can do it with it, and it would be very difficult to do it with steel, etc. So actually, from an aesthetic visual effect, it's... not a lot of restrictions, I don't think.
Yeah, and produced off-site, because obviously with the skill shortage, you know, obviously these buildings still need to be put together, but I think it will go a long way to assist with some of the challenges we have there.
Especially with the way our weather system seems to be going. You know, with sort of like heavy rainfalls, wild wind weathers, to get as much done in a controlled environment, to get that quality out there is definitely advantageous.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you both very much for your time today. I really appreciate your input, and it was good to discuss and learn a bit more about cross-laminated timber.
I think it could be exciting to see how it evolves over the next few years.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, if our followers, if you enjoyed today, we do these on a regular basis, some more interesting than others, so it depends on what floats your boat. If you subscribe and like our podcast, we would very much appreciate it, and we hope that you can join us again soon. Thank you.